our student-led service today, our student takeover. Pastor John was making fun of me all week because it sounds like we're doing something really bad in here, like we're really aggressively taking the old people out. But that's not what we're trying to do. That is not our goal today. We love you guys. We think you're great. you're awesome. Hey, is God good? Man, I'm so glad you're here today, and I'm so honored to get the opportunity to share with you today. I got to tell you, I don't plan on spending a whole lot of time sharing today, and so maybe we'll get out like super early today, and I just want to bless you guys today. So we'll see, though. We'll see at the end if that really happens. So, but hey, didn't our worship team do a great job? Man, I'm so proud of our students. My wife, Kristen, does an amazing job helping and leading and working with them every single Wednesday. And man, we've got some talented students in our group, and we are so blessed. This kid right over here playing guitar, he's only been playing for like maybe a year and a half. Like, he's good. He's good. I'm so thankful for my wife who serves with me. I'm so thankful for our adult leadership team who serve. If you're one on that team, would you just raise a hand, wave it around real fast? Yeah. Some of them are gone out of town today, but man, I'm so thankful for our team. I couldn't do what I do without this team, and I'm so blessed. Would you look at the person right next to you and say, I prayed all week I'd sit next to you today? Now look at the person on the other side and just smile and wave. Yeah, you're weird. So, man, but victory. I love the sound of that. I love to win. I like to win. I like victory. And I believe that God is doing some great things in, not only in our student ministry, but in our church as well. And we're seeing wins and we're seeing victories in our students' lives and in your lives and in our kids' ministry. We love what God is doing here at our church, and we're excited. But before I get too far, can I just pray this morning? I guess that would be a good thing for us to do. So if you're married, go ahead and grab your spouse's hand right next to you. If you're single, you can hold your own hand. Because some of you thought I was about to hook you up, but not today. I'm sorry, let's pray. Jesus, we love you so much. God, we thank you that we can just be here together and worship your name together in this place. God, we pray that you would just speak to our hearts today. We pray that you would challenge us today. God, I just pray that, man, we would leave here today with joy in our hearts, with peace in our lives, and looking forward and in claiming that victory that you have for us in our lives. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said. Amen. I said everybody said.
Amen.
All right. Our theme this year in our student ministry, every year at our winter retreat, which is coming up in January, if you would like to sponsor a student to go, that is the event that students cannot miss. That is like the only event that we can get like 90% of our student ministry to go to, because it is the absolute best thing that we do. So just keep that in mind, because that's coming around. But our theme is victory. And I want to see our students live lives of victory. Our world is messed up. Would you agree? Man, and it's got, the world just throws things at us, just the media and just what life throws at our students. And I want to see our students walk in a life of victory. First of all, I got to let you know that I've got the best students in the world here in our church. Like, don't get me wrong, they're not perfect, but they love Jesus. They serve with all their heart. They're super talented. They respect their parents. They never talk back. They have great attitude. Okay, I'm starting to speak more by faith now. But no kidding, though. We have some awesome students in our ministry. Can I just share a couple of victories with you guys? These don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to brag. I'm trying to get you to celebrate about what God's doing in our lives, in our student ministry. Let me tell you about a couple of students we have. These students have probably been in our group maybe about a year now. Chad and Brooklyn Cedarwall. Chad came up here and shared during the message. Brooklyn took up the offering today. these two have been attending our student ministry for about a year. And these two, you can tell they have a huge heart for evangelism. And in about a year's time, I would estimate that these two have probably brought around 20 students, brand new students, to our church, to our student ministry. And I would guess probably about half of those students have accepted Christ. See, it's victories like that that never get old, that never get old. Can I celebrate another victory with you? I got this young eighth grader from Grain Valley. His name's Sheldon. And he's not here today, which I'm mad. But anyways, he's only been a part of our group for not even a year. Like he's one of my, a friend of my son's. They go to school together. They play on the football team together. They play basketball together. But Sheldon went to camp with us this summer and his life was changed. And don't get me wrong, Sheldon's not a perfect kid by any means. But his life, God did something in his life at camp. So what happens is their football season just wrapped up. And so what happens at North Middle School, they get on the bus after school and they ride to South Middle School for the football practice. Well, on that bus ride over to the school, Sheldon stands up in the whole bus full of kids and he's like, "Hey, who wants to go with me to Jackson's church tonight? Let me know after practice today." And like his mom, bless her heart, she is shuttling these kids. Like I would say, just in this football season time, they've probably brought about 9 different boys to our student ministry, and I would say about 4 of those have accepted Christ so far. I don't know if she's like super serious about this, but this mom, I heard her saying not long ago, she's like, "We've been searching Craigslist for passenger vans so we can start shuttling kids to church." And I was like, "Okay, we can do that." I'm really excited, and I love this. This is something that we stress. This is one of our values. This is something that we push in our student ministry, is that saved people serve people. And I would guess, and I would put it out there, that I would say about 90% of our students serve somewhere in this church. And maybe in kids' church, we have students serving in the coffee shop, we have students serving in the media team, all kinds. We have students teaching Sunday school classes. I love that. I celebrate that. But like I said earlier, every year at our winter retreat, we kick off our theme, and our theme this year in our student ministry is victory. In Revelations 12:11, it says, "We will overcome." And in a different version, it says, "We are victorious by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony." Now, I love that. I love that, because what that's saying is we are overcomers. We're victorious by what Jesus has done in our lives. But then it goes on to say, we're continually victorious by the words that we say, by the things that we put out in our lives, by the words of our testimony. And that's what I love, when we can have students share testimonies, when we can have people share testimonies. Because I don't know about you, when I hear a testimony like what we heard just a minute ago, that builds my faith. That's a faith builder right there. And that can help you to be overcomers. That can help you to be victorious. See, you can't lose you can't choose the season that you're in life, but you can choose the victory in how you walk through that season. See, let me tell you this. I had and still have a great mama growing up. She is awesome. She's such a blessing to me, and she's very stern, and she's very small, and she is an awesome lady. But let me tell you, I had this great mom growing up, and there would be so many times where I would be down, I would be defeated, I'd be depressed, I would be beaten up, I'd be feeling short and sad and depressed, and my mom would look at me, and she would say, "Jeremy, you are the head and not the tail. You're above and not below. You are victorious. You are a child of God. You're more than a champion because of what Jesus has done in your life. You are a conqueror." And I'm like, "Yes, I am. Yes, I am." Like, and I don't need no like hyped up football coach like hyping me up. Like, I got mama. Like, she's like pouring into my life. Like, mom would say stuff like that to me because it would help me realize that I've got Jesus on my side. And if he's on my side, I can't lose. I can't lose. I love that verse. It says that we are conquerors. We are victorious through Christ Jesus. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That means that if you've got Jesus in your life, you've got the one that the world bows down to. And he's living inside of you. Can I hear an amen? That's good right there. Like, that means that if you've got Jesus in your life, you've got the one in your life that the world has to bow down to. He's living inside of you. And that's why the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves us. We're victorious. See, if we can begin to grasp that, if we could begin to take hold of that, if we could begin to understand that, then it could absolutely change the game in your life. Because you'll stop walking around through life acting like you're a victim. Instead, you'll walk through life in victory. See, we're going to look at for a minute in the book of James. In the book of James, it was written by James, Jesus' brother. And it's pretty cool. And because when you know who wrote something, even the tone of how they wrote it was interesting. So being the brother of Jesus, James being brother of Jesus, it would have been pretty interesting, right, to be the brother of Jesus. Like, if you have a sibling, have you ever heard of the thing called sibling rivalry? Right? There would have been none of that with James and Jesus, right? Like, no matter what James did, he came home from school and he'd be like, "Hey, mom, I had a good day. I got an A in math." And Jesus would have come through the doors and she would have been like, "Hey, Jesus, how was your day?" He's like, "Oh, mom, it was good. I saved everybody." It's like tough to be James, man. And so what James does, like, he writes a letter to the church, to a bunch of people who were going through it. They were going through it, and not everything was going perfect for them. It wasn't like, "Well, I'm following Jesus, so everything's great now." It wasn't like that at all. There were people who were being chased out of their homes in this day and age. There were people who were being burned alive. There were people who were being thrown into a lion's den. Like, these people were going through it. And James, he wrote this letter, and he said, I'm going to pick it up in chapter 1, verse 2. It says this. It says, "Consider it a sheer gift, my friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides." Like, have you ever had a season of life like that where it's not just raining down on you, but it's hitting you from all angles? Like, who loves those seasons? Not this guy. But right off the bat, we're challenged to consider those seasons joy. He said this, verse 3. He said that, "You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and it shows true colors. So don't try to get it out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work in you. So you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. And if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. And he loves to help you." I love this. "And you're going to get his help when you ask for it." Isn't that great? Isn't that good to know? It goes on, and in this amazing scripture, I love this, and dropping down in verse 12, this is my favorite part. He says this, "Anybody who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such people, loyally in love with God, their reward is life and more life." It isn't just said your reward is life. It's like you get life and then some. You get a little bit of extra. You go through these things and you stay strong and you stay faithful through these things and you are rewarded. Did you know that if you've got Jesus in your life, you can make it through anything? You can make it through anything. There has to come a day for us as Christians where you start looking at the storms in your life and you start looking at the challenges in your life. Maybe your marriage is difficult today. And we've got people like maybe running from their marriage, but instead of running from your marriage, you hold hands and you look at each other and say, we've got the victory in this. We can get through this. Or maybe you've got a bad doctor's report lately. And rather than go and panic and find someone to cry with, you start saying, you know what? I'm not happy about this trial. I didn't ask to be in this. But I'm going to believe that I was born for this, that God's got a reason for this, and he's going to get me through this. You may find yourself in a situation that you don't plan on being in. I think that's happened to all of us. And everything within you wants to back away, and everything within you wants to say, I can't do this anymore. I can't take it anymore. I can't go any further. Maybe you feel lonely. You were born to fight through this. Don't give up hope. I pray that the Holy Spirit reminds you that Christ Jesus is within you. You aren't alone. See, Jesus didn't promise that everything was going to be better. He promised he would be with you. So I want to share with you today real quick, four really quick things that will help you get the victory in your life. The first thing is this, and let me tell you, these aren't like mind-blowing things. These are simple things. Just today, I just kind of want to remind you of our hope in Christ. The first thing is prayer. Man, how simple is that, right? But prayer, Matthew 6:9, and what's happening here is Jesus is telling these people about how to pray. And this is what's called the Lord's Prayer. And he's starting it out and he says like this. This is the first part of the Lord's Prayer. It goes like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I'm going to stop right there. Because that's where prayer starts. See, here's what I've learned when I pray. When you talk about how big God is, your problems begin to look a whole lot smaller. And what he's saying there, what he's telling them there, he's saying, our God, who's the great and mighty one, your name is wonderful. Your name is powerful. Your name is above all things and anything. You created this earth and you can take out this earth. You are more mighty than anything that we could go through. And so when you begin to pray like that with talking about how big God is, your problems look a little bit smaller. It's no coincidence that in Matthew, when Jesus was teaching us how to pray, he started to talk about, he's told everyone to start with how big God is, how great he is, how holy he is, how wonderful he is. So that's the first thing, prayer. The second thing is the word. The next step in victory in your life is the word. You've got to have this. Anyone in here, and you can be honest, you would say that you've had a hard time hearing God's word in your life. I'm being honest, my hand's up. Maybe you've wondered, well, how do all of these people, these pastors, these leaders, these people hear Jesus, but I never have? You got to know this today. To hear God's voice, you got to know his words. To hear God's voice, you got to know his words. God will speak to you. It may not be a loud, audible voice. It may be a leader, a faith leader speaking to you. It may be the word of God. Hello, the best thing that could be speaking to you. It could be many forms of things speaking to you, but God's word can speak to you. It can challenge you. It can cut to the bone in your life, and it can lead you to a victorious life. At the end of the day, knowing God's word will lead you to a victorious life. See, I love this. Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The next thing you can do is praise. I love this part. This is a little bit more difficult. And the prayer thing, sometimes it's difficult. But for me, this is the fun part. Like when these students were out here leading, singing a minute ago, or sometimes when our worship team, now I'm back here in this back room, I'm glad you can't see back there. Because I'm fist pumping, like I'm praising, I'm singing, but praise is a weapon. It's a weapon that we have. In Acts 16, the Bible talks about these two guys named Paul and Silas. And these two, what was going on, these two were ministering in a town, and this little girl, she was following them around, and she had this spirit upon her, and she was basically like a fortune teller. And these people owned her, and they were using her to make money. So what would happen is she would follow Paul and Silas around, while as they were trying to minister, she would shout out things. She would shout out, she would say, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim the way to salvation." And that sounds like a great thing to say. But as they were trying to minister, this little girl was just distracting, and she was annoying, like unlike little kids can be. And she was doing this, but here's the deal, she was doing this for days. She was following them around for days. "These guys are following the word of God. These guys are telling it like it is. These guys are the best." Like she was like a hype man for like Paul and Silas. But what was happening, it was a distraction. And I love this in Acts 16, 18. It says, "And she kept doing this for many days. And Paul, having become greatly annoyed," like you never get annoyed with your kids. I mean, come on. "He turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her.' And it came out that very hour. Now this made the people mad. They dragged them in front of the rulers, and the whole crowd began attacking them." They began attacking these guys. They tore their clothes off. They beat them with rods, and they threw them into prison. I love verse 25. It says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened." Here's the deal. They were in the middle of this nasty prison, chained up, no hope. It wasn't looking good. And on top of that, these guys were just stripped naked and beaten with rods. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be chained up next to no dude, naked in a prison. Like, it's not looking good for these guys. Could you imagine Silas, like, just kind of sitting there and like, what are we going to do now? And Paul was like, "What's your favorite song?" Like, "Paul, we are naked in a prison. Like, our bed been beaten and bloody. Like, whatever, bro." And Paul was like, "Hey, let's sing. Let's sing a song." And Silas was probably like, "Man, I got to pray first to build up some of that courage to sing naked." So these guys, let's get off of that. Let's get our minds off of that part. So these guys, they're in the middle of prison. They're chained up, shackled up, had been beaten and bloody, and other things on top of that. And they start to pray and to sing to their God. Now, that would have been kind of difficult for me. Like, I'm in prison. I ain't singing. I ain't doing none of that. That's a waste of my time. I'm going to find out, can I pick these locks? Like, can I get out of here? Can we beat up that guard? Like, what can we do? And they're like, "Let's sing. Let's praise." So these guys, Paul and Silas, they start singing and praying in the middle of the prison, bound up in chains, and right in the middle of their worship session, an earthquake happened. Now, don't you wish the ground would shake when you prayed and praised? Me too. Now, I want you to catch this, and I want you to know this. When they started praising and praying in the middle of their mess, they were set free. Now, that is the most difficult time to pray and to praise. When the world's coming down on you, when life is crashing in on you and it's coming at you from all sides, one of the last things I want to think about is praying and praising. But look at their example. Once they started praying Once they started praising, once they started speaking life, once they started singing praises to their God, once they started praying like Jesus taught, say, God, you're so good. You're better. You're bigger than these chains. You're bigger than these jail walls. You're bigger than this prison. God, I know you can get us out of this. You can set us free. And they started praying and they started praising and singing praises to their God. All of a sudden, an earthquake happens. And not only does that happen, their chains were broken. The shackles were broken. And get this, not only were they set free, but the people all around them were set free and the doors were open. I want to challenge you. As you pray and as you praise, and when even in times when you don't even feel like it, I want to challenge you that as you do that, the chains will begin to fall off of you. The chains will begin to fall off your family. Chains will begin to fall off your friends. That will open doors for you in your life. As you begin to pray, you begin to praise. Can we have our worship team come back up? And the last thing is this. I want to challenge you with. We have to trust in God. We have to trust in God. See, a lot of times we've got the patience of a four-year-old. I got a four-year-old and I know what that's like. They're like, I want it now. Let me encourage you today, and this may be way too simple, but let me encourage you to trust God. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God can lie? No. Do you believe that any of these words in here are false? Let me ask you this, though. If we believe that God can't lie, and if we believe, and I'm not trying to be old school preacher here, but if we see the back of the book and we know that we win, we know that we're victorious, if we know these things as followers of Jesus, how can we not trust our God? We already know that we have the victory. We already know. We're already aware of that. We're full of faith. We're people who believe. And maybe I'm just a simple-minded person that is just simple enough to believe that if God said it, he can do it. When I was in high school, I played football, and yeah, imagine that. But we had this guy on our team. He was 6'5", about 315 pounds. He was a massive man, offensive guard. Now, believe it or not, I was a running back, one of them. And this guy, he was so talented. He was so good. Like, he ran track. And this massive man, like, he would race against me. And, like, I'm not big now, but I was even smaller. And I was probably about 30 pounds less than I am now, 40. But we would race in sprints, and this massive man would almost beat me every time. This guy was so good. He was so talented. He got letters from every Division I school there was, from Notre Dame, from Miami, from Oklahoma, from Florida State, from USC. Every letter, every school was wanting him to come and play for them. Every major college football program in the nation wanting him to come and play at their school. When we would run plays, guess who we would run behind? Run by, right behind this guy, because he's 6'5", 315 pounds. See, I remember one time in the locker room, it was halftime, and the coach was getting us fired up, and he was talking to us, and he said, guys, look around the room. I want you to look at Chris. This guy's name was Chris. I want you to look at Chris. What do you see? Well, you see a man who's 6'5", 315 pounds. That's what you see. And he said, Jeremy, how tall are you? I said, on paper or for real life? Because you list me at 5'7", I'm more like 5'4"-ish. And he said, like, how much do you weigh? 135, soaking wet. And I remember one time in the locker room, the coach, he was talking to us, and he was challenging us, and he went around the room asking other people the same thing. And he said, think about this, guys. We have no other guy on our team who's 6'5", 315 pounds. He said, all these football coaches who are coming to watch him play, they're not coming to see any of you guys. They came to see Chris. He's literally twice the man you are, Jeremy. Thanks. But the coach had a good point, you know. If you're going to win, you've got to play to your strengths. You got to look at the inventory of your team. Oh, they're coming to see him. Like, he's the biggest. He's the fastest. He's the strongest. Like, church, can we for a moment stop and be honest and look around and go, we're pretty average. We're pretty ordinary. But there's one amongst us who's and 6'5", 315 pounds doesn't even begin to describe his greatness, his majesty, his beauty, his glory, his strength, his power. Everything about him is greater than anything in our way, greater than anything in our path, greater than anything in our lives. And because of him, we are victorious. If our worship team would come on out. And here's how we're going to end today. I'm going to ask our students, surprise, and our leaders, if they would just come and stand across the front. And here's how we're going to close today. I'm going to ask our worship team to sing. I love this song. Like, this song gets me so pumped up. Like I said, I was back here fist pumping a while ago. Like, I get so excited when that part comes and it says that our God has robbed the grave. Man, that's so exciting. That's so great. You guys can spread out this way. Let's go this way. We got a lot of kids serving in kids' church today too. But here's what I'm going to do today. Can I have everyone stand with us? I believe today that victory is in your future. That victory is in your life. That victory for you is within reach. And I just kind of want to challenge you today as our worship team sings this song and as we kind of, as we just take a moment to worship, I want you to hear these words. And I don't want you to just sing these words. I want you to hear these words and hear how powerful these words are. And let these words speak to your heart and let these words speak to your life. And I want you to know and I want you to realize today that that power that we're singing about, the Jesus that we sing about, he's in your life. He can be in your life. If you're here today and you don't know this Jesus that we talk about, and you don't even, maybe you don't even quite understand all this, but you do know today that you need him in your life, here in a moment, I'm going to call people forward. And if you want prayer today, or if you want to accept Jesus into your life today, I'm going to ask you to respond as well. Grab one of our team, and we are going to pray with you today. So as we start to sing, I just want you to think about these words and hear these words. And if you're in this room today and you need prayer about anything at all, anything going on in your life, would you just step out and respond? Let's sing. Don't wait.
By your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat.
You need Jesus in your life.
The resurrected King.
You need a victory in your life today.